From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. In a few minutes, the Bush administration has reportedly used truth serum on at least one Al-Qaeda prisoner. Here's a question. Does that stuff actually work? We'll have a Slate explainer. First, though, 8 Democratic candidates for president were in Albuquerque, New Mexico last night for their first televised debate. The 9th candidate, Al Sharpton, missed the debate because of travel delays. But the 8 who were there, North Carolina Senator John Edwards, Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, Missouri Congressman Richard Gephardt, Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman, Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, and former Illinois Senator Carol Mosley Braun, they all agreed on one thing.
When I am President of the United States, I will lead in a
way.
As
President of the United States, my first act in office, therefore, will be to cancel NAFTA and the WTO and return to bilateral.
Commander-in-Chief of the United States military, I will never hesitate to send troops anywhere.
We know how to do this. I know how to do it. And when I'm president, we'll get this economy moving again. I'll get rid of
it. And as president, I'm going to bring the right priorities and values to the Oval Office.
It would be wonderful to have a president of the United States who could find the rest of the countries in this hemisphere. And I will do that.
Is a real priority and will be a priority in my administration.
Thank you, Ambassador Ray.
Well, there's one thing for sure. They can't all be right. Joining us are two political junkies who watch these things far more closely than the rest of us. Here with their analysis of the debate are Slate's chief political correspondent, Will Salatan. Hi, Will.
Hi, Alex.
And NPR political editor, Ken Rudin. Kenny?
Hi, Alex.
Ken, we'll start with you. The guy to beat last night in the debate was Vermont Governor Howard Dean. He's moved from long shot to front runner in a lot of polls. Did anyone do a good job of taking him on?
Well, not for lack of trying. Certainly Joe Lieberman from the beginning seemed to have Howard Dean in his crosshairs. Joe Lieberman and the Democratic Leadership Council, the conservative wing, the pro-involvement in the war in Iraq wing of the Democratic Party, feels like a Democratic nominee in Howard Dean would be dangerous, if not disastrous, for the Democratic Party, another George McGovern in 1972. So Lieberman felt from the beginning that it was his role to take on Howard Dean. Whether it was effective or not, I don't think so. I mean, all of us were watching to see whether John Kerry would be the one to take him on. Kerry's once role as supposed front runner seemed to be eclipsed by Howard Dean's juggernaut. But Kerry seemed to be pretty cool last night. It was Lieberman who really went after him.
How did Dean himself do you think? Last time he attacked all the other candidates, but I guess he didn't so much this time. Will, did you think Mr. Dean did all right last night?
Yeah, we're in the unfortunate position that Howard Dean has done so well in the early stage of the campaign by being exciting and interesting that he got ahead in the polls, and now he's going to be boring. This debate was the first illustration of that. He wasn't trying to say anything particularly interesting. He was trying not to make any mistakes and to look presidential. He kept talking about being commander-in-chief. Debates don't seem to be Howard Dean's strong suit. He likes to be in front of a crowd of people. He likes to be the center of attention. He feeds on that. He's very good at it. You put him in a debate where he only gets to speak for 60 or 120 seconds at a time, he doesn't really get revved up. He looks tight and nervous. He keeps saying, "I was nervous in that debate. I was nervous in that debate." But it happens in every debate.
You know, there is one other Democrat who says he may hope to be the nominee. That's General Wesley Clark, who is not yet an official candidate, but says he will be. Is it too late for him to be getting in this race?
You know, a lot of people talk about General Clark as a dream candidate. He has a military resume. He's from the South and all that. But he still has to talk to voters. And there's a lot. It's one thing to go on CNN and make, you know, comments about the war and how the war effort is going. And it's another thing to press the flesh in Des Moines and Concord and Manchester and things like that. And it remains to be seen whether Clark can do that.
Ken, I said that the general had said that he will be a candidate. He, in fact, has said that he may be a candidate. Let me make that correction. And finally, Will, the Iowa caucuses are coming in January, the New Hampshire primary right after that. How much time do these candidates have to kind of get this sorted out? What's going to happen in the coming month, 2 months?
Well, I think a lot of them think they have more time than they really do. I mean, certainly John Kerry is behaving, as you could see from the debate last night, like a candidate who thinks he doesn't have to particularly do anything except not make mistakes. He didn't make any headlines. The stories coming out of this debate were Dick Gephardt saying that Bush is a miserable failure, Lieberman taking on Dean. You're not hearing anything about Kerry. And I think time is running out for these defensive-minded candidates. I don't see John Edwards making much of a move in the polls either. You know, if these guys aren't careful, Howard Dean is going to wrap this thing up really fast. I mean, he is now in the home stretch in the sense that he's already given enough voters an affirmative reason to support him. And now he's just doing the sort of patching up of his credentials as a leader of the country and, you know, as commander-in-chief. And that's all that's left for him to do to develop what could be a prohibitive lead, especially given that he's now got the money to beat everybody.
Will Salatin, chief political correspondent for Slate, and thanks also to Ken Rudin, NPR political editor. Thank you both.
Thank you, Alex.